ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता चैप्टर नंबर 1 and text number 12, 13, 14, three slokas together. Tasya sanjanyam harsham kuru radha pitamaha simhanadam vinadyochai sang Kam dalam pratapavan. Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. Purport. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhan. And out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him up by blowing his conch shell very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch shell, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side. But still, it was his duty to conduct the fight, and no pains would be spared in that connection. Tataha sankascha bhriyascha phanavanaka gomukha sahasaivabhya Hanyanta sa sabdastumulopavat. After that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. Tataha svetair hayar yukte Mahati Shyandana Stithau Madhavaha Pandava Shaivam Divya Sankau Pradatmato. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by what horses, sounded on their transcendental conscience. In the contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Deva, the conch shells in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna were described as transcendental. The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side because Krishna was on the other side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Pandu Putranam Yesam Paksha Janardhanaha. Victory is always with the persons like the sons of Pandu, because Lord Krishna is associated with them. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddesses of fortune is also present. Oh, is also there, because the goddess of fortune never leaves alone without her husband. Therefore, the victory and the fortune were awaiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the conch shell of Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni to Arjuna, and this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides. Wherever it is, it was drawn over the three bolts. Amayana Timirandashya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandson of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fighters, blew his conch shell very loudly. Sounds like a lion. Giving Duryodhana joy. So Prabhupada talks about this in his lecture. Duryodhana was doubting that his grandfather Bhishma is more affectionate to Arjuna, Pandavas. And obviously we all know that Bhishma is very impressed by them, by their conduct, character, intention, qualities and everything. And apart from that, they are pretty much disciplined students too. So it all impresses Bhishma, and they're, apart from their devotion to Krishna. So Duryodhana, knowing all this, he's very much doubtful. You know, he's always having a diplomatic mind. Yeah. This is, you know, Under pressure. Yeah, Duryodhana is always, you know, very suspicious about everything and everyone. This is if someone is envious, he can't have peace in his mind. He's always worried about something, anxiety. All these things exist. And it's also said that out of the five kinds of illusion, this is one that he's having an envious mentality towards the Lord himself. Yeah. So Duryodhana is very doubtful, but Bhishma, knowing his intention, and he blows his conch very loudly, and telling that I am not lenient in fighting against Pandavas, and he told that by his conch shells, the sound of the conch shell, tasya sanjaram harsham. Don't think that I am lenient. Bhishma Pritha is telling to Duryodhana, I am strong, immediately encourage him. So he encouraged Duryodhana by blowing his conch shell. Prabhupada says that nowadays they blow bugles. I think, you know, the Krishna Balaram also has the bugles, right? It's not really a conch shell, but it's like a horns, it's curved like the horns of the buffalo. Maybe some kind of animal. They use that as for material pleasing sound. Yep. We see that sometimes the pujaris are decorated with that bugles. It looks like the horn, like this. Wide open on the one side, and on the other side it's very narrow. And also Prabhupada talks about the soldiers, the Kshatriya's qualification of those days. He says that in the modern days, and the fighting takes place, there are only soldiers visible, the foot soldiers or maybe, the military. They come to fight, and the leaders, they remain in a safety place. But in those days, the Kshatriya, the king himself, comes in the front. For example, Bhishma Pitha is an old man, and he's already, his hairs are turned gray. He's totally is gray and he's old enough, and still he has the vigor to fight. That's the Kshatriya nature. You know, he never fears. He welcomes death. I'm here, ready to fight. And this is a Kshatriya spirit. Prabhupada also says that a Kshatriya never says no for fighting. Whenever there is a fight, he's very happy. He embraces it. Let's fight. So this is one of the quality of a Kshatriya. And here we see that face to face, They're ready for fight. And they would not fight in a letting the soldiers fight and the king stay in a secure place. Rather, they put forward themselves. They are the first one to lead. They are in the front. The leaders are in the front. And the rest are in the back. But nowadays, I think it's a different scenario. Probably you don't see the leaders at all. The only thing you see is some soldiers in the tankers. And maybe nowadays they're using robots to fight, the drones and robots. Probably not even humans they fight. It's all the machines that fight each other and kill each other. And here, Bhishma is an old man and also a Brahmachari, and in the old age also he was taking the risk of fighting. And what else we can talk about this? Then when there is a fight and there is no rest, Prabhupada says that there is no rest. Fight means either the party should be killed. Either you will be killed, otherwise I will be killed. Until that point, there is no rest. Prabhupada gives an example of Jarasandha. He says that when Jarasandha was fighting with Bhima, during the daytime, the fighting was going on. And at the night, Bhima was a guest of Jarasandha. This is an extraordinary quality. You know, in the daytime they fight and then in the nighttime they welcome as a guest. Isn't it amazing? I don't know. It's like in the nighttime they forget everything and then they welcome you as a guest and serve you as a guest. And this is very impressive. And the guest is honored, respected, all the parties. But in the during the daytime, there is a fight, ready to kill. It's amazing, though. And I know I was thinking that, you know, in the earth there are like 6 billion people. It's hard to find even one like that, isn't it? You know, if you wanted to find, and you know, maybe after the devotees, you know, the Krishna conscious movement has spread all over. Now maybe due to Prabhupada's mercy, maybe a lot of devotees there. But otherwise, we see that it's hard to find anyone of that caliber, isn't it? Of people who are having that spirit and nature. You may not find anyone. It's very rare. And But during the daytime the fight was going on, and in the night they become friends. Then Krishna gave him, Krishna gave him a hint that Jarasandha can be killed by, you know, torn him into pieces and throw the body in a different directions until you bifurcate him. And later on, Bhima, he did that. Prabhupada says that, so amongst the Kshatriyas, when there is fighting, unless one party is killed, the fighting cannot be stopped. And this is Kshatriya spirit, which is Ishvara Bhava. They have that tendency and the mood and the bhava to rule over others. They cannot live without them. They have to rule over. And plus, they are very charitable. This is another good quality of it. It's a Kshatriya quality. And anyone goes for anything to ask as a donation, he's very charitable. He gives things. We see that even in Mahabharata, that, you know, Karna, you know, Krishna goes to ask him, I think it's Bhishma, has 5 arrows to shot 5 Pandavas to death. And, you know, somehow Krishna has his plan to ask those things. And when it was asked, without any, you know, hesitation, Bhishma gives it. That's another qualification of a Kshatriya, that, you know, he's not a miser. He's not of a miserly nature. The real Kshatriya is like that. He's very, you know, take it. You know, whatever comes in his hands, he gives it. And because he also knows that, you know, whoever has given to me, whatever you give, it comes to you. And they know that's the dharma, you know. The dharma of the Kshatriya's nature is to give. That's the dharma of the Kshatriya. And they also know that if the more you give, the more you get. So they have full faith in Sadhu Shastra, and they all work under the umbrella of Brahmanas. So, you know, they don't fear losing anything. So they have a full 100% trust and faith in all these things. The more you give, the more you get. So there is nothing to hide in. So that's why we see that, you know, the spectacular tendencies in them. You just give. No matter, whatever you want, ask. You know, you want me, myself, ready to go with you. You know, this is the Kshatriya's spirit. And also, Prabhupada talks about in this shloka, like Krishna says that, you know, Chaturvarnyam Maya Shreshtam. There are the qualifications for every Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. And this is the how the society is managed. The Brahmanas control the Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas rule over the citizens. And the Vaishyas, they produce fruit and agriculture, and they employ Shudras. And this is how the society runs. Krishi, Gorakshavani, Gyam, Vaishya, Karma, Subhavajam. All these things. And we see that in Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is stated in the first canto, where Yudhishthira Maharaj says that, Kamam Bhavars Parjanyaha. Which means sarvakama dugamahi sishyu sma vrajan gavaha payo sodasvatir muda. During the region of Maharaj Yudhishthira, even the clouds showered water the people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of a man in profusion. There was nothing lacking. There was no scarcity. And due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Prabhupada says that when you follow your dharma, Mother Nature will take care of you. So you don't have to really worry about food, shelter and things like that. Just like now we see in the Cape Town, in South Africa, I believe it's in Africa, I don't know, maybe it's in the West Africa, it's Africa, right? So, the whole Cape Town is running out of water. There is no water there. You know, if you see the picture, it's everywhere, it's drought, dry, you know, it's hard to find any water there. And same situation in many places in the past also, even in Prabhupada's time in Hyderabad, there was no rain coming. And Prabhupada says that in his lecture, in the same shloka, you know, we are giving the solution to the whole world. You know, just do this simple yagya, sankirtana yagya, all the difficult conditions and situations, everything gets adjusted. You know, this is an open challenge. You know, if you're ready to follow this, you know, four regulative principles, and 16 rounds chanting japa, and plus, you know, whatever, I know it's written in the Shastra, try your best to, you know, basic things, if you just follow and chant the holy name, you know, Mother Earth will become very happy. She will take care of you, and she will give you everything. You know, what Mother Nature, even now, she's not giving. You know, she's giving you gold, she's giving you diamonds, she's giving you enough food. And you know, the mother cow gives you milk and the clothes we are wearing. And anything you see and in any sense enjoyment in this world, it's all given by Mother Earth. You know, after even doing all the sinful activities, and people, they are not totally given up their Krishna conscious life, or even any dharma, they have given up everything. And still, you know, Mother Earth is giving something. You know, so much she's giving. You know, the whole India, 1 billion people, they're eating 3 times a day. And everyone is sufficiently eating. It's not that some part of the India people are starving, you know, isn't it? And they are drinking water, they're taking bath, and, you know, they're eating food. But the problem is that they themselves exploiting Mother Earth, isn't it? And due to that reason only, you know, whatever climate changes and whatever happening, it's due to them only. It's not that Mother Earth is voluntarily stopping everything. Prabhupada is giving a solution that if you just take care of this Krishna conscious life, you know, you don't have to really worry about so much, about anything. You know, even now we are, you know, not many people are working, still they're getting food. You know, a lot of food, you know, if you go to the prison, you know, a lot of people getting food. They really, you know, what they do is just to cook. Isn't it? All the school children, you know, even among the 1 billion people, if you just count on how many people are working in the land, it's very less. And, you know, even among them, you know, like, you know, the children's, the adults, all the way to the age of 18, 19, 20, I don't think they are working. They're not working so much. The only people, those who are working, is that, you know, the in-between ages. The old people are not working much. And only the in-between ones, they're working something. But you know, Mother Earth, she's taking care of everyone. Everyone gets new clothes every Diwali. Otherwise, every 3-4 months, people, you know, sufficient clothes, sufficient food, everything is there. That's what Prabhupada is taking. Then nature also will help. You know, if somewhere, Prabhupada said that if some rain is not coming, the food, the land is not producing food, just due to you only, you become so much sinful that, you know, you're so much exploiting the land that Mother Earth, she doesn't want to give you anything. You know, she's fed up with you. It's totally, you know, it's an abuse. You abused, abusing the earth. And Prabhupada says that this moment, if the people come to their senses and take it, they become so happy. It's very simple. You don't have to really too much worry about your food and shelter. People, they say that, you know, you people just chant. What do you do for food? You know, Prabhupada says that, you know, don't worry about that. Anyway, Mother Earth will produce so much. That's what Prabhupada's idea was, that, you know, make Varnashrama societies, you know, work less and chant more japa, and, you know, read more books. This is Prabhupada's plan was. Varnashrama society is to design, it's a design that, you know, produce what you need, and not for the greed, and plus, live a simple life. You don't have to really, you know, live under pressure, 10 hours working, 12 hours working, there is no need. Prabhupada says that, you know, if you have a land, you work only 6 months holidays. You know, even in that 6 months, you're not going to work for 10 hours a day. You know, like three months, you know, a couple of hours a day, you grow your own food. And, you know, and you can keep cows, you know, let the cows give milk, take care of the cows. And live a sinless life. That's the most important thing. Don't commit sins. Simple life. You don't even have an intricate, complicated rules to follow. Just chant the holy name, wake up early in the morning, you know, the basic 4 regularity principles, and, you know, discuss Bhagavatam, read Prabhupada's books, you know, very simple purpose, very easy to grasp, and, you know, very practical. People, they can just live a pure life, you know, as good as a Satya Yuga. By living, you know, it's easily, you know, just by discussing, and eat your pure food. You grow your own food, which is very healthy, and working in the land, it's very healthy. Just like, you know, recently in the afternoon, one of our devotees came from the farm, Rupa Goswami Prabhu, and he was telling me his father is 84 and he's still working in the land and he has no problems. And he told me that my father is even stronger than me. I'm just, you know, 40. And he said that, and my father is 84 but he's still working in the land, and he has 8 children. You know, he has like 5 brothers, 3 sisters. And, you know, his father is, like, you know, still very active. And see the result of, you know, just being with the Mother Earth and working in the farm and living a simple life. People, they live longer. And he doesn't have much worries and anxieties. And it's not really people, they think that it's so hard work. No, it's not really. It's fun life. You know, more connecting the earth, it makes you more natural, and it gives you more peace, and people, they become sattvic. It's easy to develop, cultivate sattva guna in the goodness, and it's easy to be Krishna conscious. And this is Prabhupada's design, the Varnashrama design is. And further in the next shloka also, Prabhupada talks about in the picture, Krishna is driving four horses. Prabhupada is the purport. In contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Deva, and Arjuna and Krishna also, they've blown their own conch shell. And Prabhupada says that is transcendental, which is not under the modes, which means it is not made out of elements, eight elements, air, the water, fire, air. Maybe we can expand it like that. If it is not under the modes, means it's neither earth, it's nor fire, it's nor water, etc. And Narayano Paro Vyaktat, Krishna is also not this material world. Krishna's body, activities, everything of Krishna, they are transcendental. They're not of this material world, it's divyam. Prabhupada quotes in the shloka, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, where in the second canto, ninth chapter, 33rd shloka, where he says that to Brahma he glorifies. Brahma, it is I, Lord Krishna is telling to Brahma, that Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, and when there was nothing but myself. There was no earth, there was no human civilization, but I am the one existing. It's just Krishna only existing. Nor was there a material nature. You know, now you see the material nature is expanded all over the seven continents and the oceans, islands, and everything. Nothing was there. And the cause of this creation, I created this. This creation is nothing but it's due to my. And plus he says, and that which see now is also I. Personality of God, and after annihilation, what remains will also be I. After everything has been destroyed, you know, after the annihilation, end of the day of Brahma, you know, everything gets devastated by time. And who exists? Only Krishna. You know, I was thinking, you know, it's such a detail and explanation, which is very hard to speculate, even by the scientist. You know, no one can even speculate about these things. It's only when you hear from Srimad Bhagavatam or from the devotees, who can speculate that far? You know, it's only because Krishna told Brahma, and due to that only we can understand, oh, this is the picture. You know, otherwise, you can't even, you know, using your own intelligence, you can't even speculate. What to speak of, you know, such a big thing. You can't even, people, they can't even go beyond the mind and intelligence. They can't even understand, you know, there is a spirit soul existing in the body. And we are a spirit soul. Even that is very, very hard. And what to speak of the cause, and what to speak of, and there is no creation, only Krishna was existing. After the annihilation also, Krishna will exist. You know, because just the mercy of the Lord, he speaks to Brahma, and so that, you know, we also come to know, oh, this is how it works. And in the Chatushloki, second shloka, also Krishna talks about his, the power and opulence. Brahma, oh Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Anything you see in this material world, if this is not connected to Krishna, that is illusion. And that's what Krishna says, there is no reality for it. You know, a real devotee, he connects everything to Krishna because he knows everything comes from Krishna. So he, in that sense, everything is real. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya, people they say. But, you know, when you connect everything with Krishna, everything becomes truth. Absolutely. That's what he is talking about. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in the darkness. And the third shloka also he talks about, O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos. At the same time, do not enter into the cosmos. Cosmos means the universal cosmos. Yeah. This is the earth, fire, water, air, ether. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created. Krishna says when things creates, he creates, and he penetrates himself in every inch, every atom, Krishna is existing. He's everywhere, he expands himself with his energy. Himself. And at the same time, I'm outside of everything. This is a power of the Lord. This is so amazing. And in the fourth shloka also, Krishna talks that a person who is searching after the truth, the personality of God, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So, so Prabhupada talks about in the Vedas, so what I meant to say is Krishna is transcendental. He's everywhere and he's not there, and at the same time even the before the creation only he was existing, after the creation only he exists. So Krishna's position is always transcendental, because he comes just like a human being and acts like just like a human being. Only the less intelligent people, they think Krishna as an ordinary human being. That thing Krishna talks of in Bhagavad Gita also. Avajananti Mamuda, those who are less intelligent people, they cannot understand Krishna's position. So, whoever can't understand this, the people, they're supposed to be less intelligent. Now, here where Arjuna also inquires from Krishna about his incarnation, about his instruction. This bhakti yoga is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada talks about who can understand actually. He says that Acharyavan Purushoveda, one who has got a shelter of an Acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, only those people, they can understand in a direct disciplic session. They will be able to understand the truth. Now we see here that along with Krishna, Arjuna is also there. And Arjuna is also not an ordinary man. He's just like Prabhupada gives an example of a fire. To be with the fire, you have to be fire. And just like, you know, it's just something is blazing fire. And apart from fire, nothing can be with the blazing fire. Similarly, Arjuna is also transcendental. And he's blowing his conch, is also transcendental. And Prabhupada also says that so, if you want to associate with Krishna, so you have to become fully Krishna conscious. Just like the blazing fire, you know, just the small spark of a fire, if he wants to live, has to become fire. So your devotion, your consciousness, everything has to become fully Krishna conscious. So it's easy to associate with Krishna. I would like to tell a small story. Just like, you know, one time in Krishna and Arjuna returned to Dwarka. And Arjuna was handling a chariot. So when they reached Dwarka, he was very tired and went to the guest house to sleep. After a while, you know, Rukmini, she cooked and came to Krishna and announced that the food is ready. Krishna said that, okay, so we have a guest at home and I will not eat till he is ready. So Rukmini, she goes to wake up Arjuna. And when she goes into his room, she was so surprised, you know. She sees that each and every part of Arjuna, every pore of his body was chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, yeah, the whole body is like, he's so Krishna conscious that every pore, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Every, the breath is Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Sleeping. He's not even conscious. She became astonished. When she got to his room, she was so surprised. And even as he was sleeping, you know, while we are trying to remember Krishna, we go to sleep. But Arjuna goes to sleep and he chants Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, this is one of the transcendence, the quality of a transcendental devotee. Seeing this amazing sight, actually, she becomes astonished and started clapping her hands. Very good, very good. And again, Narada Muni comes. Suddenly he shows up and he tells Krishna that, you know, food is getting cold. Your food is getting cold. So then he went to wake up Arjuna, Narada Muni himself. And when he saw the same sight, you know, Arjuna was taking rest. He too got transfixed, surprised and astonished to see, you know, that Arjuna's every limb, every pore of the body. Pore means we see that, you know, the perspire, when you perspire, you know, we see the pores easily. Every, not even an inch, it's less a millimeter or maybe less than that. You know, the pores is like the needle's tip. So even, you know, even that much, the whole body is Krishna, 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 chanting japa. And Narada Muni sees also, he started playing his veena. Radhikaraman, Radhikaraman, he started playing. He comes in ecstasy too. And then finally, Satyabhama then came to call the Lord. This Krishna's another wife. And she also sees that, she said that the food is ready. And, she said, I will go and wake up Arjuna, your friend. And when she got to his room, and she also saw him chanting in his sleep. And, you know, everyone is astonished. Oh, what a scenario. And she forgot about the food and started dancing, Satyabhama. You know, she also fell in ecstasy, looking at Arjuna's, the every pore of the body, it's so devoted to Krishna. That, you know, there is nothing existing beyond his love and affection for Krishna, for Arjuna. And when he reached, and finally, Lord Krishna decided to go, okay, I will go myself and wake up Arjuna. You know, he's too much in ignorance. Maybe he's thinking like that. And then he went to wake him up. And then when he goes, when he reached there and he saw all of them, that his heart started overflowing with love for his sakha, his friend. And he sat on the bed and, you know, Krishna started massaging his Arjuna's feet. Yeah, then, you know, Arjuna became conscious. Oh, no. Then Arjuna woke up and started and said, oh, Lord, what you are doing? Then he became embarrassed. Arjuna became embarrassed. And then the Lord said, oh, you love me with each and every pore of your body. Krishna tells to Arjuna. And this is why you are so dear to me. Krishna tells to Arjuna that you're so dear to me because, you know, even while you are sleeping, you know, you're the pores of the body, every limb, everything, you know, you chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Every heartbeat, it's Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, saying Arjuna this, you know, so this is why you are so dear to me, and gives him a big hug. He embraces Arjuna. So, the moral is that if you want to live with Krishna, then you have to be fully Krishna conscious. You know, you have to cultivate yourself. You know, to become every second, just like Arjuna, it's an example. You know, to be with a big fire, it's blazing fire, you have to be a fire. There is no other way. You know, unless you become yourself intensely you engage yourself, transcendental activities, it would be hard to be in the spiritual world. Prabhupada talks, you know, with hatredness and envy. These people, they don't have any space in Vaikuntha Loka. There's no point in this. Forget about it. You know, there's having a filthy mentality and being envious and hatred of the lower category, the lower mode, doesn't work. Because, you know, you can't just be in the spiritual world with this thing. You have to be really conscious of Krishna. The more you cultivate yourself, you know, come up to the level that, you know, people have to come up to the level of Prabhupada. That's why I said that, you know, fully Krishna conscious means being conscious of Krishna every second. Krishna also says that in Bhagavad Gita that satatam kirtayanto maam. It means 24 hours a day, a devotee has to be, you know, busy with Krishna. The mind is just like, you know, Arjuna is lost in his sleep, but still he is, you know, his every limb and pores, it's you know, non-stoply, it's conscious of Krishna. This is a part and parcel of Krishna. This is what a part and parcel means. To be conscious of Krishna every second. And so Prabhupada also makes a point that so Arjuna is also transcendental. That's why he's being with Krishna. This is, I think we stop here. I think I spoke more than a half an hour. Thank you. Yeah, it's true. It's true. People, they can hear you.
Yes. Shukakirti Prabhu, who gave class some days ago, was commenting that to be in the constant association with Prabhupada is not easy. It's because it was like living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it's true.
So it is a challenge.
It is a challenge. But it's one thing I would say, like to share also, it's very blissful, though it is challenging. You know, myself, I have an experience traveling with a couple of months. I traveled with some sannyasis many years ago, and it's very intense. You know, you're so busy with the, always busy. You don't have any time to space out. You know, to cook for them, you have to cut fruit for them, you have to massage them, you have to wash his clothes. You know, by the time you go to bed, it's like it's so intense. You know, you can't, even if you want to fall in Maya, you can't do it. It's so tight. The timing, there is no time for anything to space out. It's so tight. And but, you know, it's so blissful. Something, you know, somehow or other, you feel so blissful with that service. So though it appears to be very intense, but at the same time, the characteristics of bhakti is to be, you know, bliss. It's one of the characteristics of a bhakti. It gives you Chandrananda Vishesh. It gives you unlimited bliss. And it's very auspicious. So there is nothing to worry that when people say, be fully Krishna conscious, it is a, you know, it's just a reminder. Actually, that is your constitutional position. You know, to be like intensely engaged 24 hours a day. That's your constitutional position. That, you know, not even a second that you forget Krishna. That is your position, actually. The only thing is, you don't want to go and the ignorance. You're holding on to the ignorance, so you think that it's very difficult. Isn't it? Yes, Prabhuji.
Thanks. Well, I have some comment.
Yes.
Just like you are speaking about Mother Earth.
Yep.
She gives us everything. Whatever the requirements are there, all are by Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And also, Mother Earth doesn't discriminate. She gives to the demons also. She gives to Hiranyakashipu, Ravan, or any thieves also. She gives everybody. She doesn't discriminate in everyone. And yet, we should learn from there that how Mother Earth is so merciful, and we should try to be merciful as well. Every day morning, we are doing pranam, Mother Krishna pranam, we are doing Manjanipad, we are doing, we offer our humble obeisances to everybody. We should be just like one chakra, and then that we should be just like a desiring and full of the desires of the all Vaishnavas.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually we are not doing those things. We are speaking verbally, we are just like a parrot doing everything. But we cannot practice those things. So we should learn from this Mother Earth that how she is tolerating and she is giving us everything. So similarly, when we meditate on this thing, and then we can also, whatever we speak, we will not speak like a parrot, we will try to practice ourselves. And we should be humble and meek to everyone, each and every devotee. We should speak nicely, we should, whatever their requirements are there. You know, we think that, oh, he is talking nonsense, he is doing something, this one. These things comes in our mind, these things shouldn't come in our mind. We should always think that how Mother Earth is giving everything. How just like Arjuna is totally observing Krishna. So like this, when we totally observing Krishna, we do not feel anybody. Just like in the battlefield also, Arjuna never felt that I should fight with this one. But Krishna is encouraging him to fight. Usually he thought, this all my brothers is for what I'm fighting. He was not right to thinking of fighting. He was just thinking about Krishna. So Krishna encouraged him. This is my plan. So you have to execute my plan. So he executed his plan. But actually, he was always in this consciousness that how we should be equal to everyone. That was Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you. We all should become like Mother Earth. I think it's not that easy. But at least Prabhupada said that at least become sinless. You know, you may not be able to provide like her or be generous like her, but at least you don't commit sins. Try to follow the four regulative principles. You know, try to be like a human being. I think that should be enough, isn't it? Because Mother Earth is an empowered personality and it's wife of Lord himself. And it's, you know, she's beyond, or we won't be able to make it. But it's inspiring. Yeah, that some part we can do it.
These are the teachings which we should learn, the teachings which Prabhupada has given us, and we should try to practice.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that. Yeah. But at least Papa said that, you know, try to be simple. And don't commit sins. Try your best. I think we stop.
What are the sins?
Yeah. Prabhupada talks, you know, in ISKCON, Prabhupada emphasizes four things. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, and no intoxication, yeah. So all these things, these are the basic sinful activities. Apart from that, you know, Prabhupada also talks about to cultivate 26 good qualities of a devotee. So I think this makes one a perfect person. Just this simple.
Be,
yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Krishna himself had so many wives. What's he doing?
Take the
crown. Look, money, and how is it justified?
Yeah, Krishna is having so many wives.
Krishna had so many, you know, wives.
But,
the gopis were his devotees. And the wife part, I'm still puzzled.
Where are you from?
I'm from Nepal.
From Nepal. You came for the first time?
Maybe
you should read a Krishna book.
Yeah.
Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. I think it answers all your questions. And it's a little deeper. And yeah. Krishna says that Ekaleshwara Krishna Arasabhubhritya. Krishna talks about himself that I am the only husband and everyone else is my wife. Krishna says that apart from that, also in Bhagavad Gita, he says that, what is that sloka? Each and every part and parcel, everyone is my part and parcel. So it's nothing like, he's a proprietor of everything. Yeah, mamevam sajiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says that I am the proprietor of everyone and everything. Even his wife, your wife, my wife, everyone's wife belongs to Krishna. So only you think that this is my wife. I know, I understand, but what I'm... Well, Krishna, he did live the ideal grihastha life. Whomever he saved them, you know, those 16,108, they have been kidnapped by the king, Bhamasura. So, he, as a duty, he did save them. And then the wife, you know, then the lady said that, you know, you saved our life. And now who will marry us? So Krishna says, okay, I will marry you. And you know, because you know, they all have been kidnapped by a demon. Demon named Bhamasura. Yeah. So like, you know, if you have been kidnapped by Bhamasura, who will marry you? So you know, people, they will make a comment that, you know, I mean, you know, but that's the tradition, you know, once you have been touched by a man, that no one will marry you, isn't it? That was the culture and tradition in those days. Yeah, society will not accept you. So Krishna, you know, as a king, he said that he was generous, I will marry you, and he gave 10 children, each wives, and one big palace, with how many maid servants, and each one got tons and tons of gold. As we all know, ladies, they like it. and a huge number of saris, a huge number of these and that, gardens and everything, as an ideal husband. You know, just like, you know, as an ideal husband, he fulfilled all the desires of a wife. So, and he took care of all the wives by, you know, giving children, and they nourished them. So, he did behave in an ideal way. And the Gopis Katha, I think, you must have to read a Krishna book. It would be hard to explain everything in a shortly. If you read, go through it.
I want to say also that he expanded himself to each and every wife.
Yeah, it is true. See, Krishna is not an, I told you just in the lecture, Krishna is not an ordinary and normal husband like we see in this material world. He is transcendental. Isn't it? He, you know, the universe is coming out of him. So what is difficult for him to do anything?
From one example, Gopal had given, sure. Just like there is an ordinary king, he's having 100 of wives, but all 100 of wives cannot be one time with the king. But yet Krishna, at the one time, he can be with everyone.
Yeah.
He expanded himself. A regular, ordinary person cannot do. And he said, if you can maintain more than one wife, you can have more than one wife.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And also Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that my activities are not material, it's all transcendental. Transcendence, which means which is beyond time, beyond space. It's beyond the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Beyond all these things, and. Yeah, it is a spiritual. We'll put it in a simple term. It's a spiritual. It's a spiritual. Transcendental means spiritual. Yeah. To understand that... To understand...
There was in Nepal one time, also in India, it was Sati Pratha. Like the patriarchy was such that Vaishakhi was so strong and the power balance not equal, and it led to even women being burnt on the fire, alive with their, dead husbands, and so on. Excuse me, sorry, Hare Krishna.
Just like Pandu also, when he died, his wife wanted to open the fire, sit on the fire. Madhuri said, no, I will sit. She sat on the fire, Pandu. And she said, we will take care of it. So Sati was there during Pandu also, and when he left, his died that day. Madhuri, apparently,
died.
Yeah, she came with it in his fire.
It's like they would give her some medicine or something, so she wouldn't feel the fire.
No, not medicine. They were voluntary, they were no medicine. They were always observing those things, so you don't feel anything.
you chant? Do you chant holy name? Chant japa? You do? Okay.
My question is,
yeah.
What is the
importance of?
Seven. Because Govardhan Parikrama is seven. And when we start Bhagavad Gita, that is also preached in 7 days. And then we do
marriage.
That is preached in 7 days. That is also in 7 days. And when we do marriage, that Pandit, the priest says, you have to do seven rounds, seven parikrama, up to five.
Importance of seven.
Importance of seven? I don't know. Anyone can answer? Only the elder people can answer. The elder senior Vaishnavas. I don't know that. Even myself, I don't know. Yeah, I understand. But I don't know the exact answer. Maybe. I don't know. Oh, okay.
He will die within 7 days.
But this is also seven.
Yeah, it is true.
And when we do marriage, you said you have to make parikrama 7 months. Sajjal mukha restarega. Sajjal mukha
restarega. Maybe some astrological reasons. I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, every one of us will die in 7 days only. Because you can't die out of Monday or either Sunday or 7 days. Okay.
We have to follow that actually. And Vedic scripture means that one has to follow the Vedic scriptures. That is to do the devotional service. That is the definition of devotional service. As one is following that actually Vedic structure strictly, marrying according to Vedic structure, that is also devotional service. Seven hours. Seven hours come from the devotional Vedic structures.
Yeah, could be the one answer. Maybe I'll research it next class. Try to answer. Thank you very much.